I surrounded myself with, either, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. I just kind of stumbled into some people. So, man, I owe a lot of credit to the people that, that coached me and that led me. And even like, you know, it's funny because I talk about.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the PRA Podcast. I'm your host as always, Sam. And if you're new to this podcast, I started this because I believe in growth through progression and what it can provide for the fulfillment of life. I believe in growing together and achieving our own versions of success. So I provide insight via videos, life lessons, messages, interviews, perspectives, and methods to help transform conformity to visionary. So I'm using these platforms to tell people's stories and figure out just how the progression of improvement assisted in that fulfillment. So thank you guys for listening. As always, you know, don't forget to favorite the podcast and don't forget to follow me on any social media at SMartinezIV. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Good vibes and God bless.
Love that, man. Well, I love your work. I mean, I follow the Instagram posts and the stuff you're doing on the PRA podcast, and you're lifting people up, man. That's what it's all about. So,
yeah,
man. I'm honored to be on. And I'm sorry it took so long for us to schedule, but I'm honored to be on, dude. It's fun.
No, I completely understand too, because you're busy. And like, I do want to touch on, with one of the things, which is the summit, because I know you've been busy kind of organizing that. I know you've kind of just been busy with everything that you do. And likewise with all of your content as well, I definitely see that you're uplifting people. You're constantly, you know, you have that coach in you. And so that's kind of what I want to start. And I want to start with the fact that you are an actual coach. And I want to talk about that a little bit. So, how did you get into coaching? And if you can explain just a little bit, where exactly do you coach and what do you coach?
Well, I just believe that we are all called to do something. And I believe I'm just doing what I'm called to do, you know? And so I love helping people. I love helping people see potential in themselves or see things that they can't see. So I say to people, like, my job is to help people see who they could become, not who they are today. And it happened organically. I've got a mentor that I talk about a lot named Ben Newman. I have another mentor named John Wright Sr. They were both in that coaching, consulting space and do a lot of speaking. And so I just had guys I looked up to, man. That was it. I just had a couple guys that I really respected and looked up to. And I thought, man, I love what they do. And I love the day-to-day life that they get to live and the impact that they get to have. And so, you know, people join people before they join organizations. And I just decided to join a couple guys, you know, informally. We have our own business, right? So I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not working for anybody. My wife and I have our own consulting business, but if it wasn't for a couple key guys in my life, you know, I wouldn't be doing the work that I do today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And is that something that was kind of, natural to you as you were growing up and kind of, throughout your childhood and stuff, or is that something that you kind of had to like grow into? Cause I know that some people, they hit this like mental block where they're kind of like their backs are against the wall and then they hit this transformation and all that. Like, was that something that you had hit, or is this something that you kind of just were, you've always kind of done?
Yeah, I think, you know, life is all about experience, right? So I think your experiences in life dictate where you end up and the people that you meet and the relationships that you have. And so for me, so much of my life has been defined by my relationships. And I think about where I'm at today, Sam, is totally a byproduct of people that I've met, you know? So that old adage about like, you become like the books that you read and the friends that you have. I mean, it's true, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just really fortunate to be around a lot of good people. So I don't think I could authentically say like, oh, I always had this vision that I would be a coach or that I would do this work. Like, I'm doing this work because of the people that I surrounded myself with, either, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. I just kind of stumbled into some people. So, man, I owe a lot of credit to the people that, that coached me and that led me. And even like, you know, it's funny because I talk about like Ben and John a lot and Tim Bohannon, and there's been some others that have been just really, key to my growth. But, man, it's like teachers, mentors, like people that you knew when you were young that maybe spoke truth into your life or they casted vision for you to do something special. I had a lot of people, even when I was really young, that, gave me a vision, or spoke truth or empowered me or encouraged me. And so I look back on my life and I just feel really blessed to have a lot of those people that, you know, were there to spur me on and inspire me and encourage me forward.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with that too. And I think that people, they kind of undervalue a little bit the strength that relationships have and kind of the real oomph that they possess, because, and it's funny because I was just kind of making a video on that, and it's like, the stronger your relationships are, you never know what kind of directions they can take you. And then when you combine that with just exposure to different perspectives and you have different people kind of telling you their ways and you have different mentors kind of explaining the avenues that they went through, it's so cool the way that you can kind of pave your own little way through it and kind of tailor make, okay, I didn't expect myself to kind of be here, but I'm here and it feels really good and it feels right. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people are just so scared to start with developing the relationships that they currently have. And the ones that strengthen you, not necessarily the ones that deplete you. Have you ever had experiences where you had to completely kind of take people out, not like out of your life, but completely kind of detach with certain relationships because it was more toxic than it was kind of uplifting?
Yeah, I think we all go through that, you know? So I've experienced that at different stages of life. And fortunately for me, I can't think of like a real, you know, intense conversation or conflict, but I think about a lot of people that maybe I've just sort of drifted from. Not because they're not good people, not because they don't have something to offer, but I think when your belief system is different, when your value system is different, I think naturally, you know, relationships change. And so, yeah, man, I definitely have felt that over my life. And I think also like our life is not defined by what we say yes to. Our life is defined by what we say no to. And so we always evaluate our yeses, right? We evaluate, if you're in sales, you evaluate the phone calls you make. If you're in, you know, a management position, you evaluate the people that you recruited or the interviews that you had. We're always evaluating our good deeds. You know, we live in a culture of yes, but we don't often evaluate our no's. Like, what did I stay away from? What did I say no to? Whether it's food, bad habits, people. And so something that I've become more aware of, Sam, is just like, what am I saying no to? And that adage came from Gary Keller, who wrote The One Thing. He said, your life will be defined by the things that you say no to. And I believe that in a culture of yes, we got to be more intentional with evaluating our no's.
No, I completely agree with that too. And even when you take it into like a sports kind of connotation, you can learn a lot from the plays that you do right and from all of that, but it's the plays that you mess up in that allow you the turnover or that allow you to like make a mistake or something that you kind of learn where the holes are and where the weaknesses are. And it's up to you to kind of do that work to kind of like take that extra step to really, really capitalize on that as well. So I definitely agree with that. And so I want to ask, you know, when did you get into the moment? Cause I know you said, you know, you and your wife have a consulting business as well. How did you fall into that? When did that happen? And how did you realize that like you were able to go from where you were to shifting into like, okay, hey, I can create my own consulting business. Like, how did that whole shift and step-by-step kind of happen?
Yeah, so I had a background in financial services and was really fortunate to build a lot of good relationships and sort of a past career. And a lot of those folks today we work with. And so we coach on mindset and leadership and strategy. And I love that work. But we were really blessed, man, to have a pretty solid network when we started the business. You know what's so funny, Sam, because people ask me that all the time, like, how'd you get started and what was the strategy? And you know what it was, man, is it was one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, doing little things well consistently. That was it. So like to somebody that starts a business, I think complexity is the enemy of execution. Like, you know, it's just little things done well consistently. And that's it. It's building blocks. It's fundamentals. And so we would just make so many phone calls, send so many emails every single day. You let people know that you're open for business. And you take it one day at a time, and then before long, you look up and you're like, hey, we kind of got a business here. And so that's what happened for us. It happened quickly, and again, I had great mentors and people around me. I'll never forget, man, I was on my back porch. I'm standing in gym shorts and a t-shirt Friday afternoon, and I'm like, man, I want to do something different professionally. And I called my mentor, Ben Newman, and I'm like, Ben, here's how I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. And he's like, man, you need to make 3 phone calls a day. Send an email or 2 a day, let people know that you're open for business and you need to do this thing. So I did it. And I remember Ben saying within 90 days you'll have a business, and it was like 45 days. So I just took Ben's instruction. I just let people know we're open for business. I shared my heart and just said, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And I did it for enough days in a row that it worked out. And I think the problem is so many people kind of set down that path. And I remember kind of like thinking 10 days in, like, maybe this is like a little bit foolish. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And I'm glad I didn't stop, you know, because it was on like the other side of day 10 that we had real opportunity, you know. I'd love to tell you it was some complex strategy, man, but it was just really simple, like few phone calls, a few emails, and you let people know you're open for business, and there you have it.
Yeah, I think people don't realize the power of just consistently doing the small things, like you said. And I always say too, like, you know, the small adjustments make the biggest impact. And the more that you're able to kind of tweak here and there, you can visually see the progress as you go. And I feel like it's a lot easier to kind of analyze how to go about the next step, because if it's like in chunks, you kind of like get lost in like where everything kind of you capitalize on certain aspects. But when you can get very detailed into the micro of like, okay, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this, you can see a steady trend and kind of know what direction you're sort of headed. And so that's why I love that you kind of touched on that. And I love that you're touching on relationships as well, because I really don't think people utilize networking and actually getting themselves out there enough. And people, from what I'm noticing now, people want this huge impact, but they're so scared to kind of put their face on it, or they're so scared to put themselves out there in certain ways. How did you kind of get over it? Because I know you probably had that hump, like you said, like, this is foolish. Should I really be doing this? Like, what really made you kind of push through? Was it just because, you know, oh, my mentors, they kind of encouraged me this would work? Or is it more so like something internal that you kind of felt, you know what, this doesn't feel like it might be right, but it feels like it could be right. Like what kind of happened there to keep you going?
You know, Robin Sharma said that you'll be ridiculed before you will be revered. You'll be ridiculed before you will be revered. And I think, Sam, I just leaned into that. You know, like, I think I kind of knew that if I was going to move in this direction, there would be some ridicule and there'd be some people that probably doubted me and maybe even had some negative things to say or question my ability in this space. And I just kind of leaned into it. You know, like, I think most great things in life are on the other side of fear. You know, that's a Will Smith quote, but I believe that. And you think about anybody who's ever done anything great, right? Like Thomas Edison, you know, JFK, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, like all of those people, before they did something great, they were ridiculed and people mocked them and questioned them. And so like, fortunately, I haven't taken any real heat, right? But all of us take some heat. You know what I mean? Like, even your podcast, as good as a PRA podcast is, like, there's probably some people that are like, man, I can't believe Sam's spending time on this. I can't believe he, you know, gets out of this computer and man, he could be doing something more productive. And I don't even know if anybody's listening to that, right? And you know, that's all trash, right? It's a great podcast. You're doing great work. Somebody's always going to have something to say when you're putting yourself out there. And so I think if you can embrace the fact that you will be ridiculed before you are revered, and that really the only way in life to avoid criticism is to say nothing, do nothing, or be nothing. That's it, right? So if you're going to be something, if you're going to create impact, the path forward is being ridiculed. It's taking some heat. And I think a lot of people just aren't willing to take heat, right? They're not willing to be ridiculed. Yeah. It's like, oh man, what people think. And Dave Hollis had something awesome on Instagram the other day. So shout out Dave Hollis. He's the man. He just mentioned the path forward, if you're going to have impact, is, you know, for every 10 people that criticize you, there'll be 90 people that follow you, right? But we have a tendency, if you look at the 100 people, 10 criticize us, 90 follow us. We have a tendency to pay attention to the 10 instead of the 90, right? So it's like, no, pay attention to the people that are listening, that are following you, right? The musician doesn't worry about the person that didn't buy a ticket that's outside the arena. They're just playing music for the people that are there that bought the ticket. You know what I'm saying? So I think we need to focus on the people that are listening to our music, that are inside the arena, that bought a ticket to the show, and realize that, like, our stuff is not going to be for everybody, and it shouldn't be. And if you're going to do something that's significant, you're going to have a bunch of people that push back, that don't buy your ticket, that have negative stuff to say, and that want nothing to do with your music, right? So I'm using that metaphorically, obviously, but it's, you know, man, we got to pay attention to that. And so the only thing that I would say I did well, because I did a bunch of stuff wrong, you know, you make mistakes in business and you want to fail fast, figure out what doesn't work, and then work on the next thing. But I think the one thing that I did well, probably, Sam, is I just faced the music. You know, I understood that I'd be ridiculed. I understand that I might take some heat. We took a little bit of heat, not a lot, but, you know, you get past that in the early stages of a business, and then you start to build something that is worthwhile. And you realize that, man, like, some of that early stage ridicule stuff was worth it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, when it comes to having that level of like humility and having that level of being able to kind of transfer all of that and transmute it into something more productive and transmute it into something that's going to kind of take things in a different direction, I think that that's very powerful. And I think that that's something that a lot of leaders do as well. And so, you know, your ability to, you know, take that and kind of transfer all of that into something and create something from it, I think is absolutely insanely admirable. And I think that that's an insanely good skill that I think everybody should be able to learn. And one thing that I love about your work as well is I love how vulnerable you are. And I think that that plays a huge role into kind of just attracting certain people, not for anything that's kind of just one-sided, but for something that is kind of dual beneficial for both parties. And a lot of people are scared to be vulnerable. A lot of people are scared to admit when they're wrong, or they're scared to admit certain things or open up about certain aspects of their life. How do you know, you know, okay, I need to be vulnerable. I need to show this side of myself. I need to show that my family side. I need to show this, that. And how has it helped as far as your business goes, as far as just engagement, as far as just building more relationships with people in general?
That's a big question, man. I think people want to be around people that they are like or that they desire to be like, right? That's just like human nature. Like, we want to spend time with people that we are like or that we desire to be like. And one of the things that makes us human, I think, is that we all have stuff. We all have issues, and we all have things going on in our lives that we're either not proud of or that aren't perfect. And so it's interesting, I think, is you learn to share more of that stuff, and you've experienced this, I'm sure, too, right? You do a lot on social media. When you open up about things that aren't great, the engagement is always higher. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Like, the more vulnerable you are, the more you're willing to show, like, your messy house or, you know, the days where you're not dressed perfectly or you don't have it all together, or you share, like, something that is just not popular to share, engagement is more significant. Like, it goes up. And it's totally backwards, right? It's like, I think we think sometimes, like, well, the more I have it together, the more I show off the good stuff, like, the better or the more likely people are to be drawn to me. And it's actually the opposite. So if somebody was asking me, like, specific to social media, like, what do I need to share? I would say actually share more of your bad stuff. Share more of the things that aren't going well. And I'm not saying you have to put all your stuff on display, but just
air out all your dirty laundry.
Yeah, you don't need to air it all out, right? But, like, it's appropriate. Like, the way that we're going to help people is to help them understand that we're human and we go through stuff. And so, and I'm still working on that, Sam, by the way. Like, I would tell you that I'm not, you know, I could share way more. I could probably be more transparent and more vulnerable. And also at the end of the day, like, I'm a person of faith, and that means that, you know, I believe I got a lot of work to do and I'm not perfect, and promotion and good things come from above, and God's blessed us with a ton of opportunity. But I think if I'm going to point people to Him and live for a bigger purpose, it means I got to put my stuff on display and help people understand that, man, I need grace and I need His love and I need the love of my family. And there's a lot of people that have loved me well that helped me get to where I'm at today. So who am I to act like I have it all figured out? You know, that would be so disingenuous for me to try to act like I've got my stuff together.
Yeah, no. And I'm a firm believer in that too. And I'm a firm believer in kind of doing what you believe is true to yourself. And before I kind of dive into, like, the summit and kind of what that's about and everything, I'm really interested to hear your take on how you're able to make that and manifest your own, like you said, you're a man of faith. You have certain values, you have certain beliefs, like, you have certain truths that you stand by. How do you develop that? Because you have to tailor make that yourself, and you have to find what works for you. And when you find what works for you enough to be vulnerable and be comfortable with that, like you said, the engagement's there, everything's there, all that's there. Like, and I know that you kind of took some from certain people and stuff, but it's really hard because people can get influenced by the wrong thing. So, like, some people can have mentors who just totally idolize monetary value. How do you distinguish, like, what's, you know, valuable and what's kind of just materialistic and stuff?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. We have a document that we share with people that we work with and coaching clients. And it's basically a list of influencers to follow. And we vet those influencers based on their values. Because I think what's interesting, Sam, about people that have the gift of communication or leadership or influence is they're able to take you in a direction, but it's not always like a positive direction, right?
Yes.
Or you might say, hey, I really like this person. They've got a lot of great stuff to share, but I don't know that I totally align with their set of values, right? So the document that we put together is really congruent with my values. That doesn't mean it's congruent with everybody else's values, but we try to think about things like faith and family and, you know, community and deep friendship. And I want to follow people that are about those things. And so we sort of vetted this list. We have our sort of our top 20 influencers. And next to that, there's the top 10 podcasts. But we make this claim all the time. So important that you choose to listen to the right people and the right stuff, and that you're really thoughtful before you just decide to say, hey, I'm gonna listen to this person because they've got great stuff on sales, or I'm going to listen to this person because I love their humor and their energy. Well, the problem is that person can suck you in and draw you in, and it might lead you down a path that you didn't even know you were going down. Mm-hmm. And because they're gifted, right? So we have to be thoughtful about that. I try to be, you know, like even jumping on this podcast, man, like I did my research and did a little bit of homework. I just don't want to put myself in a situation where I'm all of a sudden, you know, running with somebody or following somebody that I don't totally agree with, you know, and, life has to be bigger than the money we make. It's got to be bigger than the stuff that we say or the clothes that we wear, or the way that we look. And so I want to learn from people that are great, but I want to make sure that they're grounded before I decide to follow them. Is that helpful?
Yes, that's absolutely helpful, man. And I'm glad that you said learn in there at the end, because it shows how much of a lifelong learner you actually are. And everybody who is going to be something in a position that they want to be, like kind of in a position such as yours or something, you have to be willing to learn every single day. And I love that you put together a document that has that type of stuff, because again, like, you know, you can attest and say that like Adolf Hitler was passionate, that he was very, you know, ambitious, that he was driven, but just because he was those things doesn't necessarily mean that the morality of it was in the right direction. You know what I mean? So, and it's a big thing now, because, you see, you know, even just different influences, with different people, and people get sucked down this rabbit hole, into certain content with certain things. And, I'm a huge advocate for kind of like that type of work and what you're doing. And I absolutely love that you vet them out as well. And that you do that for people, because a lot of people don't know who to follow. They don't know like kind of the next steps. So I want to talk about kind of more of your, consulting group, and that's who is putting on the summit, correct? Like that's who's going to be in there. Okay. I want to kind of talk about like your consulting company and kind of mesh that in with, how you got into this whole summit thing. Cause I'm excited for you, man. It seems like a really big deal, and it seems like it's something you've really been working for. So I'm excited. So go ahead and have at it.
Well, thanks for the question, Sam. I appreciate that. Yeah. So our consulting firm is, you know, we work with a lot of people who are in sales, or a lot of people who are in management or leadership positions. And most people I would say that we work with are in the people business. So they're in the business of daily communication, relationship building. So they're in finance, they're in real estate, they're on a sales team for, you know, a certain company. And our work spans multiple industries. We work with a lot of people in financial services, some in real estate, work with a lot of entrepreneurs. So we're really fortunate. We're blessed to work with sort of a wide variety of people. I have about 20 people that I work with individually, and then we work with about 250 in terms of macro, you know, group coaching, mastermind. And then we've been really fortunate to have some strategic partners that have made our work kind of go like this, right? We've really been able to expand our influence and our reach just through people. So, as far as the summit goes, there'll be 400 people that get together in Iowa City, Iowa on October 30th. So we have the conference in our backyard. So, you know, if you're wondering, like, why would you throw it in Iowa City, Iowa? It's just where we live, so it's easy. And, man, it's probably something that my wife and I work on every day. You know, so it's funny because it goes down once a year. We did it last year, Sam, for the first time, and it just kind of happened organically. And, again, back to, like, one day at a time, one step at a time, this goes out to our listeners. If you've got a dream or there's something you want to do, we always say, like, build the plane as you fly it. Like, it doesn't need to be perfect, right? Done is better than perfect. So just build it. Like, get it off the ground, right? And I'll tell you that, man, there's, like, parts falling off, and then we're trying to stick them back on, and, like, the plane crashes, and we get it back off the ground. So if anybody would have followed that journey in year one, they'd be like, oh, my gosh, these people have no clue what they're doing. And they would have been right. We had no clue. But we pulled off this event that actually went really well, because we had a lot of good people around us to support us, and it was really well attended. And so this is year two. We're fortunate this year to have a couple nationally recognized speakers and, you know, just an amazing event, a huge production company that's helping us put it on. And so I think we'll have, you know, production quality be, you know, really, really stellar. And, so, you know, leadership, sales skills, people skills, overcoming adversity. Elizabeth Smart is kind of the primary keynote. They just made the Elizabeth Smart movie, and you know, she's been on Good Morning America and the Today Show, and she has a huge brand and following. And so we're excited to partner with her and Ron White, not the comedian Ron White, but the memory guy Ron White. And you get around some of these people and they're talented and they have an amazing story and they can just attract and draw people. So we're excited, man, to partner with some of the top, you know, presenters and speakers in our country. And I'm fortunate to be one of them just because I get a, and I'm running the event. So I just get a tag along. But we're pumped up, man. It'll be a good conference for sure.
That's awesome, man. I'm really excited for you. And I'm actually, you know, I'm proud of what you're able to do within that year, man. I think you're right. Like, I think people are just so scared to just get off the ground a little bit. And I don't think they realize how powerful and how much, impact just trial and error does for you. I know that, like, you know, everything that I've done up to this point, I've had no idea how to do any of it. But, you know, if you're interested, I always say, like, if you find something that sparks your curiosity and your patience kind of at the same time, and you're consistently just more curious about, like, just figuring out more and more and more and more and more, then that's like a level of patience. And then eventually it starts to blow up in this whole thing. You look up and you're like, whoa, like, I don't even know what I created, but it's beautiful. Like, that's insane. And then you just go back to what you're doing. You go to making another plane that's more innovative and more stealthy, like, you know, you don't ask questions. You don't fight it. You just keep going with what you spiritually, like, just feel is right. I totally agree with the message. I totally agree with kind of what you're doing and the way that you're doing it. I love the way that you're building value all the time. And I love that you're able to balance it all, between and incorporate your family as well. That's something that a lot of people use as an excuse, I feel, more so than anything. They're like, oh, my family's kind of a drag. I have to do this on the side and this and this. But when you can kind of incorporate your family, incorporate everything as like a unit, I feel like that's like just the most important thing that you can do. And so, you know, when it comes down to how you run everything as far as right now goes, how are you kind of like – for people who kind of are in that mode where they're still trying to figure things out, how are you able to maintain balance between the business, family, building another plane, all these types of things, right? Like, how do you manage all that? Do you have like a morning routine that helps you kind of like put yourself in check and in gear? Like, what are your kind of tactics to kind of distinguish everything?
Well, I'll tell you that I'm working on that. And my wife would say that I do not have that figured out. Yeah. Just to tell you, like, man, Jordan's got a lot of work to do. You know, my family and my faith are most important to me, right? Faith, family, work comes way after that. Friendships come way after that. And again, I think my wife would say, well, that doesn't always show up in your life, you know? But I think about, man, being respected the most by people that know you the best. Like, at the end of my life, I hope that that's the case, you know, that I'm respected most by people that knew me the best. Not that I'd have all these people on the periphery that kind of knew me, that respected me, but that the people that really knew me would say, that I lived a life that was meaningful and worthwhile and that my top priorities were lived out in my life, right? So, Ed Milet, shout out, because here it goes. This is my opinion on balance. And actually, what I'm about to say, I disagreed with for a long time. And I think when you hear it, Sam, you might disagree with it too. Okay. But let me unpack it. And then I think you might agree with it.
All right.
So Ed Milet would always say, balance is a myth. Balance is a myth. And I'd be like, balance isn't a myth. Balance is something that, like, we should like want in our life. You know, like, what do you mean balance is a myth? Here's what Ed Milet meant about balance is a myth. He says, balance is elusive. It's not that it's bad to strive for balance or try to obtain balance. It's just that, like, balance itself is really hard to, like, truly have. And the reason is we're on this podcast right now, right? And so as I'm talking to Sam, I'm spending time with you, right? I'm engaged with Sam. I'm giving this thing everything I've got. I'm present with you. I want to be present with you, right? I want to be focused with you. Well, it means that my relationship with my baby girl is not flourishing, right? In this moment, it's not, right? Because I'm choosing to be present with Sam. In a little bit here, when I get off with you, My relationship with my baby girl will be flourishing and I'll be spending time with her rolling around on the floor being fully present. But guess what? My relationship with Sam won't be flourishing. My business in that very moment won't be flourishing. So Ed Milet says, rather than trying to always find balance, why don't you just try to stay fully present with whatever that you're doing? and be okay with the fact that, hey, like when I'm fully present, there will be a part of my life that's taking a temporary backseat. And I don't think that has to be a bad thing or a negative thing, right? Like some people might hear that and say, well, your family should never take a backseat. Well, if you're going to be present at what you do and present with other people in your life, that's just going to be the way that it is, right? Now, I hope that my family is something I'm always prioritizing and it's always, near the top of my list, right, in terms of my daily priorities. But if I'm going to serve clients, if I'm going to help people, if I'm going to do meaningful work in the community, then there's just going to be times and certain hours and certain moments where, those things are taking up my time and they're taking up my attention and my focus. And if I'm constantly trying to seek balance, then I'm always going to have this internal battle, right? I'll always be stressed out because when I'm with my family, I'm thinking about, you know, this podcast or this client or this other thing. I'd rather just be totally zoned in and focused on my family. If I'm at work and I'm thinking about, man, I'm a crappy father, I'm a crappy husband because I'm not spending time with my family right now, well, then I'll be stressed out about that, right? So I think there's something to be said about the art of being fully present, you know, be where your feet are, be attentive, be focused, give everything that you've got to the moment at hand, and just realize that, hey, you know what? Like, that's okay. And that's part of life. And so that's a tangent, man. And we went deep there, but I believe in the art of being fully present. And I believe the more that we focus on that and the less that we try to always obtain this perfect balance, the more contentment, you know, we can have.
I definitely agree with that. I love that answer as well. It's weird. It's almost like when you are fully maintaining your state of presence, you're in balance. Like it's almost like because you're so present and you're not judging anything around you, you're kind of just in that zone. It's like, inherently, you have like a sense of rhythm within your life that you don't call balance, but it's like a weird version of that. It's like you're counteracting everything with your presence. Like that's amazing, and I love that you kind of said that because I think that a lot of people do strive for just straight balance. Like they don't, and it causes that disengagement with your present self and more judgment within. Like, okay, well I'm not doing this. I should be doing that. I should be doing this. And you play that mind game with yourself. Start telling yourself all kinds of stories, you know, and it totally manifests in something. It's just avalanches. So that actually leads perfectly into my final questions, because I know we might be running a little over for you. So real quick, I just want to know what your version. I always ask everybody this at the end because I love everybody's answer. What is your idea of success, and what advice can you give others to kind of reach their own versions?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you my answer, okay? Yes. So I always tell everybody, I'll be real with you, I'm going to give you my answer. It doesn't mean that that's the answer for anybody else that's listening. But for me, with my mission and my values and the things that I prioritize, like for success for me, same would be to do the most with my gifts, to honor the things on this earth that I care about the most. So if I can honor the Lord, the person that's given me life, right? I believe for me, that's Jesus Christ. And I can honor my family and use my gifts to bless the people in my life that I'm closest with, right? To be respected the most by the people that know me the best. And I think that's success. And I want to be a person that, and by the way, I still struggle with this a lot. So it's not to say that I've overcome or that I have this all figured out. But I want to get better, Sam, at not storing up riches on earth. And I want to be better about thinking about the big picture, you know, so. I believe that God gave me gifts for a reason and he gave you gifts for a reason. John Maxwell, says the gift is bigger than you. Promotion comes from above. And, man, when somebody gives us a standing ovation, right, either literally or figuratively, when things go well, when we get standing O, I think we have to realize that people aren't applauding us. They're applauding the gift, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to be somebody that understands that more deeply. Like if I'm on a podcast and somebody's being really encouraging, right? Or they're complimenting me, or I'm speaking and somebody's complimenting me. Like the reality is, I've got gifts for a season, right? And I get to steward those gifts for a while, but the gifts didn't come from me. They came from above. And I want to be somebody who stewards those gifts well. And so if I can do that, if I can steward my gifts well, if I can understand that the gift is bigger than me, they're not applauding me, they're applauding the gift, and I can reach people for a greater purpose, then I think that's success. That would be my answer.
Heck yeah, man. I love it. It's almost like being in just a complete permanent present state of gratitude, you know? And
yeah, that's it.
And it's hard for some people, you know, but I definitely, that's why I do what I do. And that's why I try to help present people with others. And that's why I love to ask that question, because I was actually telling my wife this. It's always kind of in a different perspective. It's all the same. You know, it's all about finding who you are and giving back to people and contributing and finding deep relationships and being who you are. Like, it just, and I love it, man. And that's really, I think, the main key takeaway is, I think people just need to, you know, they need to be who they are. They need to start, and they need to develop really good, healthy relationships, and they need to take care of themselves. You know what I mean? I really appreciate you kind of coming on, and I love what you do, man. And I'm a huge fan of your work. How can people get a hold of you, get in touch with you? Where are you most active on? Kind of give us the whole lowdown on that.
Yeah. So our website, you know, we post content there pretty regularly and update content. So that's montgomerycompanies.com, montgomerycompanies.com, just like it sounds. And then we do a lot on Instagram, Facebook. Instagram handle is Jordan M. Montgomery. And so we do a lot through social media. And I'm speaking a couple times a week across the country at different conferences for different companies. And so people, you know, to the events that are open, people are welcome to drop in on that stuff. Oftentimes they're not, you know, many times it's a private event. But if it's an open event, that's one way. And then the other way would be to attend the summit, which happens in the fall. This year it's happening October 30th. So we're like 90% sold out. There's a few tickets left, but we're pretty accessible. Like, I, you know, our relationship kind of started through Instagram, I think, right? You reached out and just, you know, commented on the work. And I think I shot you a message back. So we try to be really, really, thoughtful about how we respond and, you know, be accessible. So, man, if somebody sends us a message, like, we're pretty good about, you know, getting back. That's our world, and we'd love to connect with listeners and create as much impact as possible.
Heck yeah, man. I love it. I love it. I love everything from start to finish. I love what you do, man. Keep up the great work. And like I said, I really appreciate just your time. I know you're very particular with how you spend your time and kind of what you're devoting your time to. So I really greatly appreciate you taking your time to kind of be on the podcast. I really think it's going to be very beneficial to a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to take a lot of value, especially from the ability to create better relationships and be able to network and kind of thrive and capitalize on those and be able to see and navigate their own kind of truth, beliefs, and kind of like form their own little crafted, you know, starter plane. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. And are there any other last words that you want to give out or anything like that, or are you good to go?
I mean, I would just say I want to send it right back to you and just say thanks for having me on. And every time I get to do this, it's a blessing and it's a gift. And you've got a great following. I know you put a ton of work into this podcast, and I watch you, man, like flying this plane, right? And so I just want to encourage you to keep it flying, keep it going, because I think you're doing a lot of really good work. You're super positive. You shine the spotlight on others, and you're bringing great stuff to the surface that ultimately sells, right? And the people want to listen to. And so as much success as you're having, I still probably think that there's, you know, the best is yet to come for you, Sam. So I just feel blessed to be on the podcast, man, to be on the show and to have a little bit of your time and attention. So thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
I really appreciate that, man. More than you know, I'm extremely grateful. And I look forward to kind of just keeping connected with you and staying in touch and maybe even having you on in the future as well.
I love that.
And maybe next time, too, we can catch you right before the summit so we can kind of promote that a little bit and maybe get some tickets out if they're not already sold out. You know what I mean?
I'll be on anytime, man, anytime.
Heck yeah. And if there's anything else that you need help with, or if there's anything that you need me to promote or anything like that, do not hesitate to reach out to me, because I'm more than happy to let my listeners know, let the followers know, all that good stuff. So
awesome, man. Very cool. And then, not that you need to record this part, so you can cut this.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
It's different. It's different to be aware as opposed to like be in it when you can't see the forest from the trees. You know what I mean? So you got to take yourself out of your own head. That's something that I'm learning as I go. And I think that that's something that we continue to learn and we continue to strive, because again, progression is what we need to aim for. We just need to aim for getting better, not continuing to spiral down and out of control with these negative stories. The universe gives us exactly what we ask for. Just remember that. The universe gives us exactly what we ask for. So in turn, the things that happen to us along the way are formulated to be the tests that we need to pass. So think about this. Like if you are telling the universe, okay, this is what I want. This is it. It's like, all right, cool. So I'm going to put this series of a bunch of shit in front of you and see how serious you are. And it's in those moments that you continue to keep pushing through that the universe is like, all right, I'm taking him a little more seriously now. So you start to get more pieces. But when you remain consistent and then you back down, the universe is like, eh, I don't know if he really wants it. I don't know. You got to earn your keep. You got to earn your vision. You got to earn these things. These things don't just come to you. The universe isn't just going to be like, here it is. You got to actually put strides in. You got to put some merit behind the things that you're asking for. Because if you're not doing that, it's almost just like making false promises to everything and everyone. Because it's like you are trying to be of service at that point. But if you're not going to be of service if you continue to... But everybody is calling me right now. You're not going to be of service if you're continuing to deplete your own stuff. You know what I mean? We give too much to things that we assume and or make up. We definitely do. And the funny thing about that, man, is we assume it. Like it's not even fact, right? Like there's nothing that's set in stone that's saying like this is exactly what's going to happen. You're just putting that negative connotation onto the event that happened because of your mindset. Because you are not seeing opportunity, you're seeing failure. You're seeing all of the things wrong. You're not seeing all the things that you can capitalize. You're not seeing all the opportunities. You're not seeing any of that stuff. So the problem with this is that it's sustainable up until a point, right? So where we... Okay, it's sustainable up to the point where we give them a story and a meaning behind it. So this is why people react so differently to different things. Why some don't worry so much. Perhaps it's because they know that they've already taken steps to solve whatever problem is put forth, and anything added on is just extra drama meant to test the growth so far. So like anything that you go through, if there's just extra drama, extra stuff, it's just more of that extra credit. Extra negative in your life is extra credit. Remember that. Extra negative is extra credit. The things that you can overcome that are extra negative in your life are going to be extra credit. The universe will repay you for that. Let's see. Or maybe they simply know that they are the path and whatever they decided was meant to be. And I always say that, you know, the hope is for the past, faith is for the future, and we are the path. You can hope that things don't end up like the past, but you can't dwell there. You just need to have faith in the future and be present enough to make the best decision because we are the path. The things that we decide are the things that are supposed to happen. Regardless, if something bad happens out of that decision or if something good happens out of that decision, it was supposed to happen because it's either supposed to help you grow or it's supposed to help you see a new beginning to the next level. So either way, you're not done. Either way, success is not comfortability. So you got to get used to the discomfort and continue to keep moving, continue to keep pushing, continue to keep striving. When we detach ourselves, we're able to take the wrong part of the ego out of the presence of the happening, enough to be able to form our own truth and do the things that we need to do to move the needle a bit. By detaching ourselves, we can also become more objective to situations and not as emotionally bound to what's going on. Do not get caught up in isolation. If we detach too much, this is when we begin to feel lonely. And loneliness and solitude are entirely different. Being separated is like being in solitude. When we're not auditing what we tell ourselves, that is when isolation multiplies because we feel we are not worthy of what we desire enough to put that out to the world. That is also the exact moment when our relationships are no longer authentic because now you're too focused on your own tunnel vision instead of the broader vision. And you know, empathy for others and having relationships that are healthy and strong are the things that create the longevity for you later. You will be able to start to see a shift in the fact that you're not genuinely having conversations. You're merely going through the motions and becoming robotic. How many times you ever, you know, thought, oh man, I'm just being like, just so robotic. I'm going through the motions, this and that, right? Now, you begin to experience anxiety as opposed to optimism. And this can be just as disastrous. So stay alert in how much you are detaching your story with what's going on. If you begin to separate too much and begin to isolate yourself, you can always come back, just start engaging with others within your circle. Even if it's just a simple but genuine, hey, how's everything going? I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a slump talking negative to myself and being like just terrible. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, right? All of a sudden, I say hi to somebody, or I say good morning, or I say, yo, how's your day going? I hope your day is good, and I hope everything's going well with you. And all of a sudden, man, my whole mood picks up. My whole mood picks up, and it's because that level of connection goes deeper than just a hi, hello, how are you? It goes into your soul. You feel connected to somebody, and that is something that is irreplaceable. And it's something to not take for granted or take advantage of. Now, if you begin to, like I said, separate yourself too much and begin to isolate yourself, just say what's up to somebody. How often do you talk negatively to yourself? Honestly, man, all day, every day. It's something that I constantly am having to always know how to combat, because like there's moments, yeah, like where, you know, I'm good to go. I'm telling myself, you know, you're awesome. Like you're doing really good. And then people tell me like, yo, you've accomplished so much this year and like all that stuff. And I'm just like sitting to myself, then why don't I have much, right? Then why don't I have anything? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? Why am I struggling to pay my bills? Why am I like not in a good position? Like, why do I feel really good, but I don't view myself really good? And that's where I get caught up. I get caught up in the bad. So that's why like I have to recycle this gratitude for today, momentum for tomorrow, energy for the world, empathy for others, and awareness for ourselves kind of mantra every single day. I have to sit there, and that's why I post this every single morning. For those of you who are wondering and getting annoyed with my stories and saying like, why is this dude posting these same five yellow, black, white things every single day? The reason for that is because that's my little checklist every single morning. I go through and I literally look for gratitude, and I'm like, okay, gratitude is mindset, perspective, and accountability. And do I have a right mindset? Like, am I viewing things? And every time I get caught up in these negatives, that's why I always say awareness is such a huge key, because to be aware, it's not that like you're going to just do like dissolve all of these feelings, right? They're going to come up, but that's why you got to be aware. That's why I always say awareness is so important, because you have to be able to switch it on and be the observer of your thoughts and be like, look, I'm actually like talking to myself pretty negatively, and I've actually accomplished a lot. Like I can't be getting down on myself. And so it's like, it's crazy how much that helps to have your own. That's why I talk about even having your own system, having your own Rolodex. Everybody's got these hacks, right? Saying like, this is the way you need to be successful. This is the way you need to live life. This is the way to have the right mindset. And it's like, no, that's not really it. It's just what happened and what helped for them. So you got to like find your own system. That's why I always preach my system, because it helped me. So take what works, throw away what doesn't, and make your own thing that gets you kind of aware more so than anything when you're feeling these things, because too many people get caught up in these feelings. They don't do anything about them. How many times have you like felt like you needed to work out, but you didn't? Like, that's what I mean, to be aware of something and be like, look, I didn't work out today. I don't feel like working out, but I'm going to work out. Like, that's what it is. It's the same thing, but with a mental strength behind it. True. So being grateful is the main way you fight the negative thoughts. That's, I would say, the main thing, man, but it all comes down to that and relationships. Like I said, like there's moments where I detach the story, right? So like I detach the story from the event. So like if something bad happens to me, I try to just detach the story. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me. This isn't going to spiral things out of control. It's just one random event. What can I do from here? So when I do that, sometimes I get caught up in my own little tunnel vision. So I detach from people, right? Like I don't talk to people about it. I just like go for it. I'm just like, boom, 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 tunnel vision. I'm good to go. Instead of like opening up. So what happens is I isolate myself. So then I start to feel a little lonely about it. I'm like, okay, I'm beating a bunch of shit. I feel good, but why do I feel lonely? And it's like, I don't have, and then it starts to happen again, right? Like, because I'm like, man, I feel lonely. Am I really that good? And like, boom. So then it's like a relationship thing too. I have to be consistently speaking with people and saying like, hey, how's your day going? Like genuinely, because the level of connection that you feel with other people, it keeps you going. It keeps you going. That's one of the main things why people don't realize that like solitude and loneliness are two totally different things, because you can be in solitude, but you can also feel lonely. So like you have to maintain your relationships with other people that are healthy. I'm not saying like just reach out to people who are toxic to you. I'm saying like reach out to somebody who makes you feel good and say, hey, how is your day going? How's everything going? I can tell you that like between gratitude practices and working on relationships with other people and just focusing on the right energy and the right belief systems that I have true to myself, like it's all a cycle, man. That's, I talk about it so much, but it really is just a cycle. Like the reason why I go through all these specific things in my book is because these are all villains. Like these are all villains. Like the next chapter is the mirror of judgment. Then there's indecisive distraction, right? Like, and then we've already gone over fear and the three E's. So now after we go over like all these villains that I kind of go through as well, that's when I recycle everything else that's in the book, which is gratitude for today, momentum for tomorrow, energy for the world, empathy for others, and awareness for ourselves. So I literally checklist. I'm like, is my mindset right? Am I seeing all of the perspectives? Like, am I seeing the right perspective? Because I know that things could be worse, but am I seeing the right perspective? Do I have accountability for who I am? Like, do I at least accept the fact that I don't know everything? I'm not where I want to be, you know, all these things. Now, do I have some self-discipline? Well, I don't know if I stuck to my routine today. Well, bam, some of your momentum's gone. If I'm, you know, if I am, man, I can't even think of it right now. Man, why am I drawing a blank right now? If I don't have clarity, my bad. If I don't have clarity, so like if I don't have any discipline and I'm losing momentum because I didn't stick to my routine, I'm losing some clarity. I'm losing some clarity in my vision at that point, and I don't have a complete meticulous plan of attack that I'm following. So my momentum's off. If I can't identify my vibration and realize that it's very low, how am I supposed to raise it? Because I don't even know where the starting point's at. If I can't confirm my own truth and belief systems within myself, how do I know what I stand for? How? So those are the first three checklists that I do. And then I do, you know, am I in touch with my emotions? Like, am I actually feeling them and listening to what they are telling me? Or am I just trying to throw them out the door? When I can sit there and listen to them, you know, I get to realize what my friends, which are my emotions, are actually telling me. I can be more receptive and more respected and be more respectable towards those. Acknowledging them gives them the opportunity to discuss things with you and not just bang at your door and be annoying. Then I try to see if I'm exposing myself to the other person's point of view and exposing myself to other people's stories so that I don't feel secluded to my own problems. I know that other people are going through similar situations. And then I retain my sense of presence. Like I said, you know, the hope is for the past, faith is for the future, and we are the path. So anything that I decide is the path. It's what was supposed to happen. It's what's supposed to play out. What I do from there on, I just need to keep remaining present and keep making the best decisions to keep moving forward. That is how you gain empathy. That's what I use to create better relationships with people. And then the last checklist, you know, I make sure that I have my process down. I make sure that I have a good process. I make sure that I'm incorporating my passion at least once a day somehow. And then I know that I need to have the humility to admit when I'm wrong and to admit when I need some help. When I am doing all these things and I'm going through every single one of those things, which is what all those five things that I do, that's why it says mindset, perspective, accountability. That's why it says, you know, for momentum for tomorrow, it says discipline, clarity, plan of attack. That's why it says all that, because I have to go through and I have to literally sit there and say, and trust me, like it's not perfect 100% at bat every single time. There's times where like, it's just how I identify what part of my life is kind of lagging a little bit. Like I'll admit, you know, the past few days, I haven't been very disciplined. I haven't really had much clarity and I haven't been very meticulous with my plan of attack. So I've been losing a lot of momentum and I feel it. I feel like I'm losing momentum. You know, if I'm not in touch with my vibration and I don't know like my truth and belief systems and I'm getting confused because I'm letting other people's influence kind of thwart me, that also depletes my energy. And I have to be aware of that. And when I can pinpoint that is when I can start to capitalize on what it is that's making me cause that. And what I can do to continue to push forward, to continue to pull myself through this. Now to finish this off, social interaction will always trump being alone. Like I said, social interaction is always going to trump you just being alone. Even scientists and psychologists have proven this time and time again with suicide rates linked to depression and overall levels of anxiety in today's modern world. So I don't know if you guys have looked at like the depression rates and all that stuff, but most of these people just feel very lonely. And you can be in a crowd and feel lonely, but you've got to at least have social interaction. Like, you've got to at least genuinely care about people and create that level of connection, because everybody can always tell when it's fake. Like, people can always just sit there and say like, yo, this dude's just trying to be friends with me because I have this and that or whatever. He's just trying to make himself feel better. Like, but you can tell when stuff is like not authentic and when it's not genuine. So make sure that like you're being very authentic with the way that you're like connecting with people. So be aware of these things. Remember that relationships are part of this overall cycle. Always maintain the healthiest relationships possible with the ones that are encouraging and challenging you. Those are to be the ones that will be able to get you out of your funk of isolation and back into the groove of detachment, and ultimately one step closer to attacking any of those negative inflictions upon self. So like I said, you know, if you're struggling with negative self-doubt, negative self-talk, negative self anything, just remember to reach out to people. Remember, you don't even have to talk about the things that you're stressed about. You don't even have to talk about the things that you're negatively talking to yourself about, but just connect with people. Just connect with people. Create your sense of exposure to other people's stories. Open up your level of emotional intelligence by listening to your emotions. Don't just be like, you know what, I'm feeling sad. I don't want to feel sad. Like, fuck you, I'm out. Like, no. You got to at least be able to be like, all right, I feel sad, but like, why? Like, why do I really feel sad? Is it because I'm like not where I want to be? Is it like, what is it? And then you got to at least be able to be present in that moment. So you got to be like, all right, look, like I can take an objective view here. I know that I'm like, I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling down, but what can I do right now? Like, what can I do right now to make me feel better or to make, you know, the situation just bring a little more light to it? Like, what can I do? And normally, like, when you can do all that and you can do that openly with another human being, there's no way that you'll do all of that and feel bad about yourself or feel bad about what just happened. There's absolutely no way. It'll make you feel absolutely totally different about the way that you are talking to yourself and the way that and it all comes down to, you know, the right mindset. Again, like, don't get caught up in your own head. Take yourself out of your own head and take yourself out of your and take that observer standpoint and realize that things are the way that they are, but you can't take that personally. You've got to just make the transitions accordingly. Now, I think we all have experienced some form of negative self-talk, self-doubt, self-sabotage. And I've gone over before typically, you know, that it can stem from low worth, high judgment. Now, I'm going to ask you guys before I get off here, was there a time and is there a time that you guys actually judge yourselves? Like, do you guys judge yourselves? Do you guys ever talk to yourselves negatively? And if so, like, how do you combat it? How do you become aware of it to where you can flip the paradigm? You can become, you can get in control and you can actually start to, you know, capitalize on things and not feel victimized by these things. But I'd love to know your experience with this. So please, you know, if there's ever been a time where you had to overcome self-doubt or you're doing it every day or whatever, Let me know. And because I'd really like to know kind of your guys' experience as well. Now, again, just to kind of recap a few main points that I spoke on, and then I'll let you guys go. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Remember, don't be viewing the world as it's better without you. That's just a negative way to look at things. Everybody has something special and unique to contribute. Love yourself completely. Don't judge yourself. Be able to look in the mirror and be able to tell yourself that you're doing well, that you're doing good, that you have what it takes. You know, the affirmations in the morning, I'm a big fan of. I don't personally do it, but maybe I should. Maybe some affirmation, which you need. I guess you could say my affirmation is the gratitude, momentum, energy, empathy, and awareness. I kind of use that as my mantra, but that's like my affirmation. You know, like, if I can do all these things and I can capitalize on every single one of these, I feel pretty good about my life. I feel pretty good about myself. Now, belief that you don't deserve good things breeds for distraction and a damaged ego, decision fatigue, anxiety, stress. We all know about cortisol and depression, you know. So strengthen your belief system. Strengthen your truth system. Know what's true to you. Know what works for you. Know what's going on, you know. Hardship means progress and progression to propel. So view any hardship in your life as a test. View any hardship in your life as progression to propel forward. Detach slowly, not from others, but from stories. So detach the stories in your own mind. Yeah, I do every now and then. How I normally overcome I kind of let it play out. Like, I feel like I'm positive all the time, and it's normal for a filter to need to get the bad stuff out. Exactly, man. And that's what I mean by listening to your emotions. See, by doing that, like by actually like taking the time to like just let it kind of like simmer and play out and like just kind of do it, it does sift through these little channels, these little levels, right? And that is a form of you opening the door for your emotions and listening and being like, you know what, like I realize I'm sad, but I realize that life is more than that. And so like, even though the sadness is coming at you, like explaining why, you can see the perspective. You can see the perspective and you know what, you know that it's not permanent. So you have an opportunity and a growth mindset going towards that. And not only that, but the fact that you acknowledge it enough to just let it play out means you're taking accountability. And that, in a sense, gives you more gratitude. And that starts to propel more momentum. And then when you have discipline to kind of go with that with some clarity and a meticulous plan, you're really off to the races. Then it's just maintaining your level of energy, knowing what is true to you, and just consistently building relationships and maintaining your sense of purpose. The negative period normally doesn't last that long, maybe a few days or maybe one day later. And that's the thing, man, is it lasts longer if you rebel it. Like, I always talk about this. It's like a noisy neighbor, right? Like your emotions, like if you reject them, like see how you're like, you know, if I just give into the negative, it'll pass in a few days. Most people, they're just like, no, I need to be positive. Fuck the negative. Boom. Like, and what happens is like the negative just keeps pounding on the door for much longer. Like it's not going to go away. You know what I mean? But if you can give into it, it goes away a lot quicker. That's why grief is so vital. And it's very important to grieve properly, because when you are grieving properly, you're actually diminishing the amount of time that it's going to take to forgive and relinquish all of the either regret or anything that's attached to it. So like, it's important to grieve. It's important to acknowledge the sadness. It's important to let it feel, like to allow yourself to feel it for a couple days, just so that you know you're not forcing something to just like leave and it's just going to come back knocking even louder. I really love that you said that, man, because that is something that a lot of people need to do. They need to be able to just be like, you know what, I'm going to be sad for a couple of days, but that's what has to happen, right? Like that's what has to happen. Now, remember that the universe gives you what you ask for, but it's all a test. Like it's all a test, you know? It's going to just say like, I don't take you seriously. Let's see how serious you're going to be. So the universe will give you what you want, but just continue to be consistent and continue to keep pushing yourself. Not too far though. You know what I mean? If you got to take a step back, take a step back. We are the path, detached versus isolation, you know the difference. Loneliness and solitude are totally different. I talked about that. So just remember that. And then maintain healthy relationships to combat all this stuff. Like you were saying, man, like what do I use? I use everything, but majority of it, I use like gratitude, all of the aspects that I include with my gratitude, and then the aspects I include with my empathy. So like when I can deploy empathy on others and build my relationships, when I can, you know, continue to have gratitude and continue to work on my mental health, things seem to come full circle, and I seem to feel better about myself a couple days later. And then it just goes away. You know what I mean? And so that's why I love that you asked, you know, how often do I experience this? Because I experience it all the time. It's not just going to be a quick fix, you know, and some people have different mentalities. Like some people have stuff going on up there and it happens more frequently with them than it does other people. Everybody's different, you know. You might have the ability to process these things correctly and grieve accordingly and know that you're going to feel sad and all that stuff. But some people, they really just don't understand, man. And they try to stuff everything down. I tried to do that before. I tried to stuff down all my feelings. What happened was I blew up. I self-combusted. I self-sabotaged the shit out of my life. I almost lost my wife, my family. You know, my whole life was almost like in the shit. Like I just... there's a lot of things that go into not talking negatively about yourself and devaluing your worth. You actually have to really keep picking yourself up. You got to be your own like cheerleader. Nobody's going to believe in you but you. So you've got to be able to take the rein in that, and you got to be able to deploy that in a way that's genuine so that other people can be responsive and receptive, so that when you do come out for help and you are okay and you're open and you have the humility and all that stuff, it's not going to be awkward. It's going to be like a, hey man, like I'm actually going through some shit. Like, could you help me out? Yeah, dude. Like we've been, you know, going back and forth about this. I understand. Like, and that opens up a whole new world, because relationships are everything. That's how you get farther in life as well. See, keeping stuff in can kill you for real. Hey, what's going on, Murad? Murad, good vibes, man. Good vibes. What's your actual name? I like to call people by their, like, I'm like, what's your actual Murad 7273. Okay, sorry. No, I know a guy who had to go to the hospital. Dude, it's real, man. When you're okay, so when you stress and you're holding stuff in, right, your body, your cortisol spikes, and when you're in a when you're in fight or flight mode, what that does is it actually like it. There's a bunch of different things, you know. It increases your cholesterol. It increases your blood pressure, and it just like it depletes a lot of shit too. Like. And it's literally not physically healthy for you to hold things in and stress and like do all this. You actually have to get stuff out in a very healthy way, because again, like your friend, you know, sometimes you actually have to go to the hospital for that. And that's why physical health is so important too. If you're not drinking water, you're not eating right, on top of not thinking right, and on top of not like knowing yourself spiritually, and on top of not having good relationships, and then on top of like not feeling like you have a purpose, like that's all just a recipe for disaster, I feel. So I completely agree. Like you can't, and it goes back to that old adage and that old saying, you know, if you hold a glass of water, right? How heavy is a glass of water when you hold it? Not very heavy. Over time, how heavy is that glass of water going to become? Extremely. You know, if you hold the glass of water for 2 minutes, it's not really going to feel too heavy. If you are holding it for about 2 days, do you have any idea how heavy that is going to feel on your arm? So we have to let go of the weight. And I actually talk about that in my book as well. I say strip the small weight. Like you don't need small weight if you're trying to grow. I get that you need to make small adjustments. Yes. But you need to start to get bigger weight. If you want to get bigger muscles, like you got to get bigger weight. If you want to get growing a lot faster, a lot bigger, strip the small weight, the stuff that you don't need, all of the extra baggage, all the drama, like that's the weight you don't need. The weight that you do need is the challenge, the adversity, the discomfort. Like you need those. You need to make small tweaks, small adjustments to your form for those. You don't need to be just playing around with 15s. Fives, like thinking you're getting all jacked, thinking you're getting all ripped. Like, you know what I mean? Like you got to get bigger weights. You got to take some risks. You got to get yourself out of your element. Okay. So with that being said, guys, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate the back and forth. I love that, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, you know, if you are not already, please join the Facebook group, because like, you know, I'm going to need help eventually. I'm going to need help eventually. So I'm trying to build a team here soon. So if you guys have not already, please join the Facebook group. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube. I am already subscribed to your YouTube, bro. Of course. and I still need to do the podcast segment for you as well. Other than that, guys, you know, just remember to value yourself at a high standard and be realistic about it. Open up yourself, build relationships, and yeah, good vibes. And I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you guys for watching. Again, I'm going to get at you guys with a video about how I'm going to be restructuring the whole scheduling system and the way that the content's going to be coming out, because it's going to be changing up. But good vibes. I really, I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Peace.